Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Over the past few weeks, you've had access to some of motion pictures' biggest blockbusters, from the classics all the way through to new releases. As our team has explored stories of the human experience while discovering life-changing spiritual truths. Now, as we said, the focus is really not, when it comes to these messages, hasn't been the movies themselves, but the biblical truth that they help to illustrate. These movies are really just the beginning of a conversation. Now, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. This is kind of what this series is anchored on, modeling our approach to the approach of Jesus himself. Matthew 13, 34 tells us that Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. He never, that's a powerful word right there, he never spoke to them without using such parables. So movies are our modern day parables. You know, I have great movie memories growing up. Going to the theater, big bag of popcorn, that smell that's just, you know, crazy. It takes us right back to those moments, sitting next to my dad and my grandfather at one point, and then later my friends. But as the lights drop in the theater, we're kind of pulled into this world, transported into stories that engage us, that kind of hold us on the edge of our seats or make us split up laughing. We've had many of those times and continue to this day. Good memories. Now, due to the copyright regulations of a series like this, the clips that you'll see on site here today, we cannot include on the broadcast. So next year, when we do our At the Movie series again, don't miss one live. Make sure that you make plans to come and to invite a friend. This is a great series to invite your friends and neighbors to see the gospel in something that many of us are very familiar with when it comes to movies. But be assured of this, that whether it's on site or online, the messages will stand on their own. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Susan, my lovely wife, she preached a great message called God's Favorite Things. And she used the Academy Award-winning classic, The Sound of Music, as kind of a lens through which we can see some powerful spiritual truths from the Word of God. Now, today's message features a movie where there's absolutely no sweeping shots of Julie Andrews in the Austrian Alps on a hillside. There is nobody in this movie who breaks into song. But I will tell you this, movie is filled with some of my favorite things. So buckle up. F1, the movie, introduces us to racing prodigy Sonny Hayes, played by Brad Pitt. And he's kind of like this aging driver known for his intensity and his raw talent. This guy is aggressive. He's kind of hardened by time. And now he's stepping back into a world that demands everything. Sonny kind of fits that typical image of success when it comes into motorsports. These are people who are committed to speed and competitiveness. They're trying to push harder on the track than anybody else out there to get to the front. But I think this movie surprises us, because Sonny doesn't win in the end because he drives harder or takes more risks. He eventually wins, believe it or not, because he discovers peace, both as a driver finding that elusive line as he flies to the finish line, and also as a person, as he steps into an understanding of the importance of legacy. You see, understanding the race of legacy is less about himself and more about passing this wheel on to someone else. Now, this wheel, similar to the ones you'll find in a lot of stock cars, is very different from the ones that you'll find in F1. The F1 wheel looks a lot more like a game controller or a Switch 2 than it does a steering wheel. But the principle remains the same. I think one of the most meaningful takeaways from this film for me came from the relationship between Sonny and his younger teammate, JP, or Joshua. And he's played by Damson Idris. Now, their dynamic begins kind of as this typical mentor-protege relationship. It's a rivalry that's filled with a little bit of friction and action, but it shifts. Something happens in the film. And instead of clinging to the spotlight, at some point, Sonny makes room for JP to rise. He lets go, not because he's giving up, but because he's growing beyond the need to define himself by winning. That moment when he chooses to lift someone else up is powerful, and it also reveals a significant spiritual truth. You see, spiritual legacy is always about lifting others up to do even greater things than we can do. Living a life, the kind of life that will outlast us. And Jesus understood this principle better than anybody. He defines it. John 14, chapter 14, verse 12 says, "Very truly I tell you," this is Jesus speaking, "whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing." So you're going to do what I'm doing. But then he goes on to say, "and they will do even greater things." That's a pretty tall challenge to all of us, and sometimes hard to believe. But we are called to do greater things. Why? Because he's going to be with his Father to intercede on our behalf as we continue our race. You know, the truth is we all stand on the shoulders of great men and women who have sacrificed their lives to go before us, to blaze a trail, to ensure that our spiritual Jesus legacy continues on and on. And F1, this movie, illustrates how individual ambitions and insecurities can be kind of forged together into this resilient team spirit capable of triumph, where strangers now start to become teammates. And then over time, teammates start to feel like family. Now, through it all, Sonny questions his own purpose when the team director point blank asks him, "What are you doing here? Like, Sonny, why are you here?" And I think this is a question that I believe that all of us need to come to terms with at some point. What am I doing here? What's my purpose? And in the moment, Sonny kind of rejects the notion that it's about money and fame. And he's forced, like all of us are at some point, to look deeper into our hearts. Now, the Apostle Paul famously uses the metaphor of a race to describe our lifelong spiritual pursuit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, he says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run or race to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training." Let me just stop there for a minute, because as Christ followers, our race, I think most of you would agree, is anything but effortless. It requires discipline. It requires intention. Just like Sonny hits the ground running, studying every detail of this car's performance, trying to improve it, trying to gain just a couple of more seconds. And so he trains himself. He builds trust with the team. Paul goes on to say that they do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So listen, run with purpose in every step. You know, knowing our true eternal purpose is absolutely essential. We have this great class coming up in September called Discover Purpose that will help you do just that. Discover Calvary, who we are as a church, but also to understand why and how God has designed you so that you can run that race with effectiveness. Now, in the movie, JP, mentored by Sonny, he learns racing isn't about fame really at all or glamour, but it's about a dedicated focus. It's about a commitment to excellence. Paul goes on to say, I'm not just shadow boxing. In other words, I'm not here just playing a game. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, he said, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Now, disqualified from what? Disqualified from finishing, right? Winning the race, it really means completing that race. The race of legacy requires endurance to the very end, something that Sonny in this film was familiar with, having raced very long races. So he knew all about endurance. And then again, the race director looks at him and challenges him, who in this moment is Sonny's trying to convey his feedback. And she says, listen, I'll listen to your feedback more seriously when you stop crashing the cars that we have, losing like crazy amounts of money. You finish a race and I'll listen to you. Finishing a race is so important because it's not how you start the race that counts. It's how you finish. And just like a veteran F1 driver mentors the next generation, we are called to live lives that will outlast us. Discipling others and passing on the faith. That faith, that gospel message that has saved us and shaped us. You know, listen, a legacy, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. You will pass things down to the next generation, whether you like it or not. And that can be great things or destructive things. Even if you don't have a lot of money or you don't have a lot materially to leave behind, you will instill things like character traits and talents and interests. These things, your influence in someone's life, can get passed down to your children and even down to your grandchildren. You know, back in the early to mid-60s, my dad was an announcer and a driver for the Suburban Stock Car Club as he grew up in Waverly, Nova Scotia. He and others raced around dirt tracks. It was mayhem, bumper to bumper. You'll see this picture here. He's the one on the far left. And these pictures show just the craziness of what it looked like back then, which didn't have a whole lot of safety attached to it. Everybody was clutching a wheel, much like this one, just trying to get to the end of the race, channeling all their anxious feelings and energy, all that enthusiasm to win into this wheel as they race towards the front or try to do it. I was talking to my dad the other day, and he says he remembers at one point flipping his car over and being so tightly bolted into the seat that he was hanging upside down, waiting for somebody to come and save him. These are seconds that are ticking away when you're wondering what's going to happen next. He could smell and see behind him gasoline dripping from the tank, which this copper tube was attached to, not far from him. Like I said, the safety wasn't on the highest part of the list as it is today. And finally, they freed him from the car. Now, thankfully, that legacy continued on. Thankfully, God protected him because he's here to still tell that story, and I'm here to pass it on. Otherwise, we both wouldn't be in the mix. But Skid's Chains, that's what they call him, Skid Chains, that was his nickname. Skid Chains' legacy and love for speed didn't stop with him. He passed that down to me, right? He passed this wheel to me. And so now I grew up with a love for speed. Everything about racing is something that caught my attention. He and I went to many stock car races back in the day, going to local tracks and international tracks. We've been to the Daytona 500 a couple of times. We had such great memories at the racetrack together. It's just a fantastic thing. But more importantly than his legacy of speed, again, was his love for Christ, his love and understanding of God's purpose for his life, his love for his family. These things he passed down to me, which still help to order my steps today. Now, later in life, I also had an opportunity to race some of these cars in a an event that was kind of like a corporate team building exercise. I had a good friend who was a driver and owned a racing team in Eastern Canada. And so he invited me out that day. They do a little training with you, and they send you out on the track. So I had an opportunity to jump into one of those cars that were very similar to the ones that Dad raced in back in the day. And then they put me in a full-size stock car. They zip you up into a fire suit. You climb in through the window. They strap you in. And just before they're putting the net up and I start the engine, it's just crazy loud. The guy's leaning into the window and he says to me, What blood type are you? And I'm like, whoa, what? What blood? I think he was just messing with me, but it certainly did what it needed to do, which was strike fear into my heart at that point. And then finally, just before I headed out onto the track, my good friend who owns the car, he leaned up to the net and he said to me, don't look at the wall. I said, what? Don't look at the wall. Because where you look, you will go. Now, that's a message for another day. Don't look at the wall, because where you look, you will go. He said, believe me, you cannot afford to replace this car. In that moment, I understood exactly what he was saying to me. And that whole moment is kind of seared in my brain to this day. But it connected me. I felt like it connected me to something that my dad and I shared, a shared legacy. Billy Graham once said that the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money, but rather a legacy of character and faith. You see, our lives and our faith are our legacy, whether we're single or whether we're married with a family. We all have influence, but what will you do with that influence? Who are you passing that spiritual legacy onto? Who are you passing the wheel onto in your life? Because all of us have the opportunity to make a difference. Now, this movie and this message isn't about just going fast, like Ricky Bobby, you know, shake and bake. It's not about just speed. It's about passing on wisdom and courage and calling. It's a picture of discipleship, of spiritual legacy. You know, as Christ followers, our finish line is heaven itself, an eternal reward. And winning the legacy race ensures that what matters lives on in the lives of those that we love and those that Jesus came and gave his life for. He won his race so you could finish yours. So important to understand. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, from a dark Roman prison cell just before his death, Paul writes to his protege, writes to Timothy. He says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, teach these truths. He was passing the wheel on to Timothy. Teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. So he was saying, listen, man, I am passing the wheel to you. Now go and teach others and then teach them to pass the wheel on to the next generation so that this message, this gospel message, will do what it was intended to do, which is changing this world. Now let me pass on some race notes to you to help you finish the legacy race strong. The first thing that we need to understand is that this race, it's bigger than you. Paul wasn't just focused on finishing well. He was focused on passing on the gospel to the next generation. My heart, listen, every Sunday that we stand here is to make sure, to ensure that this gospel message, that this truth, the thing that we stand for and give our lives for, that we put it in the hands of the next generation, that it would continue on through their lives and the generations to come. 2 Timothy 4, 7, Paul goes on to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept my faith. Now this wasn't just Paul kind of doing a victory lap. It wasn't him doing donuts in the infield. It wasn't him standing with confetti all around him as people sprayed champagne in his face holding a trophy. This wasn't his grandstand moment. This was him passing it on. This was him ensuring that this message continued. You see, in F1, even the greatest champions only drive for a certain stretch of their lives, a certain season. And after that, their legacy relies on how they prepared other people. Racing team success depends on the data, the experience, and the insight that's passed from one driver to another. You may think sometimes that the role that you have in life is small, but I want you to know that someone is watching you. Your faith, your words, your actions could help to change the trajectory of someone else's race. Remember, a good fight is one that you help others prepare for. The second thing we need to understand is that discipleship is intentional. Jesus didn't just minister to big crowds of people. He invested into 12 people deeply. That's how he did change the world. That's how that message still is changing us and changing the world we live in. Matthew 28, 19, his words ring in our ears. Therefore, go and make disciples. Those two words, go and make, those are words of intention. Those are words of action. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is still happening today, thousands of years later. We're still doing this. Last weekend, on a Sunday afternoon after our services, we gathered at Crescent Beach, and we saw 20 young people get baptized in front of a park full of people telling the world that they were following Jesus. If that doesn't excite you, I do not know what will. That is continuing on that commission to all of us. You see, discipleship doesn't just happen accidentally. It's personal. It's relational. It's ongoing. And it's the thread that connects everything that we do as a church, every service, every message, every class, every ministry, all connected with this pursuit to becoming fully devoted followers of Christ. So let me ask you this. Who are you mentoring? Who are you pouring your life into? Your kids? Your grandchildren? Maybe it's a new believer. Maybe it's a young coworker. Maybe it's a student in our youth ministry or a neighbor. And listen, if you don't know the answer to that question, then ask God. Ask God to show you who you can be pouring yourself into. You know, a rookie F1 driver needs someone to teach them the subtleties of the track. Where to go into the turn, where to come out, when to overtake, when to hold back. All of these things, these strategies, the mistakes to avoid. Listen, all of this relational kind of process is exactly how spiritual growth works. It's the same way. We need to continue to spend those times talking about not just your high points in life, not just talking about your victories to those that you're helping to mentor or pass the wheel on to. Talk about your failures. Be vulnerable. Talk about the things that God helped you through, because it's going to help some people not to make those same mistakes. We can be a part of that process. And then finally, listen, legacy is not fame, it's faithfulness. You don't need a platform to have a legacy. You just need faithfulness. Psalm 145, verse 4 says, "One generation commends your works to another, and they will tell of your mighty acts." It's not about being famous in your time. It's about being faithful for eternity. Paul discipled Timothy. Timothy discipled others. Now we are the legacy of that same spiritual line, because someone said yes and allowed their lives to be used to disciple another. What will outlive you? Is it your career, your bank account, your amazing looking car? No. Or is it your impact, your life on someone else's soul? You know, racing, like life, is filled with legends. Some of those legends are myths. Some of them are stories of people that couldn't possibly exist. But some are based very much in reality. People who were faithful. People who knew exactly what to do and how to pass it on. You know, later on, an F1 driver retires, and people still talk about their mentorship, their sportsmanship, their faithfulness, and how they inspired others to greatness. You know, this is funny. This jacket is my dad's jacket from the Suburban Stock Car Club back in 64. Isn't that awesome? It says his name, Vince, on there, and his announcer tag on the other side of the arm. But this jacket in the corner of my office reminds me of the things that my father has passed on to me. The things beyond racing that really matter. The things of faith. The things of my trust in God for what he has started, that he is faithful to carry on to its completion. So who today are you passing the wheel onto? Who is that in your life? As we close in prayer today, I want to invite you to reflect on those who have invested in you spiritually over the years. And right now, even as I say that, people are coming to mind, some of the lessons that they taught. Sometimes their lives taught lessons beyond the words that they spoke to us. But then I also want you today, as we close our service, to prayerfully commit to investing in someone else, to be intentional about that process. And then I want to pray that God would make your legacy a lasting legacy of faith. Pray with me if you would. Father, we thank you today for the great legacy that we are a part of the men and women over the years who, like you, lived a life and walked out its truth and lessons so that others could be prepared. Lord, you told us that the works you do, you want us to do those works, but to do even greater things. I pray today that we would be living in this day and be aware of the day of greater things when with our faith in you, not our own ability, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do all things because you strengthen and guide us. I pray that each of us would be thankful today for those that have gone before us, those that have invested in our lives. Parents and spiritual leaders, friends, those that have made a lasting influence in our lives. And then I pray that each of us would ask you and consider who we can speak into, who we can mentor and help prepare, those that we can help to finish their race strong. And Lord, I pray that in each of our lives, that there would be a lasting legacy of faith, both in us as individuals and us as a church, that the things that matter most would outlast us, and that we would see your kingdom come and your perfect will done as we finish the legacy race strong. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. We look forward to seeing you next week for a brand new series that is our summer speaker series. You are not going to want to miss this. As good friends of ours and our church who love this church will be speaking to us through the month of August. So don't miss a single Sunday. We look forward to seeing you there.